Amen. Let's open our Bibles. I got the lapel on there. Let's open our Bibles to Numbers chapter 2. And I want to share a message entitled Identity with Dignity out of Numbers chapter 2. And while you're opening up there, I'll just give you a couple announcements. Remember, there'll be men at the doorways to take your offerings at the end of the service when you're exiting. And so be sure to give as unto the Lord. Also, I want you to be sure to sign up for our couples retreat, which is on October the 1st and 2nd. And we don't want you to miss out on some good instruction, some good fellowship together. So make sure you get signed up for that. Remember, this week, our midweek service is going to be on Tuesday night. Wednesday night is our kindergarten graduation for OCCA. And then Thursday night is our 12th grade graduation. Also, and so we're going to move our midweek service to Tuesday night, and so that'll be right at 7 o'clock as we normally do, with just a day we'll be changing, so make a note of that, and if you don't make it to that, come to the graduation, amen, and there'll be some preaching going on there. Also, choir, remember today we have choir practice at 5 p.m., so make sure you're here at 5 so we can go over our song for tonight and next Sunday morning. Numbers chapter 2, Identity with Dignity. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the inside of their father's house. Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And on the east side towards the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies, and Nahshon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah, and his host, and those that were numbered of them, were 64,600. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for allowing us to be together this morning. We're thankful for this weekend, this Memorial Day weekend, as we remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice and losing their life, Lord, but winning freedom for us. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can celebrate their memory. We're thankful that we can celebrate our freedom that we have. And certainly we rejoice in the goodness of our God that has been extended to us, knowing that what we have, what we experience, and what we can enjoy is all because of being under God. And so, Lord, I pray you speak to us in a special way today. May we reflect and rejoice, and the Lord look forward to what it is that God will do in us and through us. And so bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 2 is our text verse, says, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the inside of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And so we see in this chapter, we have the order that was given to the Israelites of how they would encamp around the tabernacle. And I'm thankful that God is always a God of design and order. And God has a lot of instructions for us throughout his word. And certainly Israel, as they were established as a nation and God was directing them, he gave them specific instruction on how they were to encamp around the tabernacle. Three tribes would be on the east side, three tribes on the west side, three tribes on the north side, and three tribes on the south. And it says that they were to pitch his own standard or his own flag. And literally that standard or that flag was to identify who they were. And it was a means of identity. And we often, I don't think we often think too much about the flag. And certainly those that protest and are against everything we stand for as a nation do not take in consideration of the flag. But the flag does represent who we are. And whether it be the Christian flag or whether it be the American flag, that is our standard. That is our identity. And we need to be identified with dignity. The flag of the Christian represents for us freedom from sin, whereas the flag of America shows us freedom of a country. And whatever flag you're looking at, We are acknowledging the fact that we are a free people, and we live in a land of free people, and we respond to circumstances and situations in our life based on the fact that we are a free people. And Memorial Day is a time where we remember those who gave their lives for those freedoms. I was looking for some statistics, and they say that throughout the years, over 1.3 million American soldiers, men and women, have died for the freedoms that we have. And so when you look at that flag, just remember that's representing more than 1.3 million people that have given up their lives so that we might be free. Of that 1.3 million, be aware of this, that 750,000 of that 1.3 million died during the Civil War. The bloodiest battle, the bloodiest war that America has ever been in was the Civil War. And it was for the purpose of freeing the slaves. And I think we need to reaffirm what we are about as a nation and a people. We were established on biblical principles. The pilgrims came here for religious freedoms. And as our country would form and grow and develop, those freedoms were that are according to what the Word of God has to say was established in our lands. Are we a perfect people? Absolutely not. Have we made mistakes in the past? Absolutely we have, just like you're making mistakes right now in your life. And certainly we need to recognize the core, the root of what we remember over Memorial Day as people gave their lives so that other people can be free. And Jesus Christ ultimately gave his life so that all mankind can be free from sin. Here's a quote for you. It's been said that the value of a soldier is not understood in times of peace. And it's always amazing to me how we're always politically considering how we can cut the military. And when we consider those things are in times of peace and tranquility. But listen, there is a battle coming. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because look at history. There's always a battle that is coming. And we need a well-planned and well-prepared, well-supported military so as to protect us as a nation, as a people. But most people don't value the soldier unless it's in times of battle and times of war. They forget about the significance and the importance about that. You know, we deal with this whole thing right now with defund the police. And people don't see the value of spending the money on a good police force, but those cities that have done it are starting to get the backfire from it and seeing what happens when you don't have someone to enforce the laws in your city. And so whether it's military, whether it's our police forces in our local communities, whatever it is, understand this, that there must be people who are willing to put their lives on the line to protect others so that others can be free. And so the value of the soldier is not understood in the time of peace. But then Thomas Campbell, a preacher during the Restoration Movement, said this, "The patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree." And we don't have freedoms without the shedding of blood. We don't maintain the safety and security of our shores without the shedding of blood. And so this Memorial Day, we're remembering those who shed their blood so that we might be able to be a free people. They need to be identified, identity with dignity. And so let's consider things. It's a very short message this morning, only 2 points. 35 subpoints. Amen. Point number one is just simply this. The flag of the Christian represents freedom from sin. When we see that flag, I was going to move them out, and I forgot to do that this morning. You know, when you're sitting up here before the service is starting, you start realizing all the things you forgot to do to get the service ready. But anyway, you look at the Christian flag, and you see the symbolism of the Christian flag is it's white. Certainly white speaks of the fact of the purity and peace that is experienced through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
And we have heaven as our home because Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us. We are assured of the fact that we're going to enjoy everlasting peace, and it's because of what Christ did for us on Calvary. And Jesus lived a perfect, holy life so that we might be able to see that we can have righteous lives as we live in light of the righteousness of Christ. I am holy, saith the Lord, be ye holy. And so we are. When we think of the white background on the Christian flag, realize that it represents purity and peace. The blue part on the Christian flag represents faith and truth. And certainly faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so our whole concept of what we are or what we believe, what we identify as a Christian is based on the truth of the word of God. And that comes by faith. We do not have faith on a whim. We do not have faith in mankind. We have faith in the Almighty God who has penned down for us His eternal word so we can read it and believe it and be saved and live by it. And so when we look at the flag, we not only see peace and purity in front of us, but when we look at the flag, we see faith and truth in front of us. And then, of course, the red cross on the flag, would represent the blood of Jesus Christ, and not just the blood of Christ, but His love. Here in His love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Greater love has no man than a man shall lay down his life for his friends. And so whenever we see that red cross on our flag, it identifies the fact that Jesus' blood flowed off of Calvary for the purpose of giving us eternal life, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that flag means something to us. It's not just a flag that is hanging up on the stage for us to look at it and say, oh, well, that's really a pretty flag. And so identity with dignity. The flag of the Christian represents freedom of sin. Why? Because first of all, it just means this. It reminds us that of a God that is a God of love. You know, Memorial Day is a time of remembrance. And so if Memorial Day is a time of remembrance, then we ought to remember that God is a God of love. And He's a God of love that is demonstrated to us in that in judgment, He always shows mercy. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve fell into sin in the garden, God told him, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They disobeyed God. They were enticed of the devil. They ate of the forbidden fruit. And as a result of it, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Realize this morning. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden by God's mercy, not by God's judgment. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 22, says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. The tree of life that was in the garden, just like the tree of good knowledge of good and evil, was in the garden in their lost state. If they had eaten of the tree of life, they would have been eternally damned forever. And so he says, lest they eat and live forever. In verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims with a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So I want to submit to you that God in His judgment upon Adam and Eve, He judged them based on the fact that He did it with His mercy. He prevented them from being eternally damned and provided for them the covering for their sin. The animal's blood was shed, and because the animal's blood was shed, they were redeemed by the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, and they were preserved by being put out of the garden. So God's judgment comes in mercy, and I'm glad that God, when He judges, He remembers mercy. I see this not only in Adam and Eve, but I see it upon Cain. Cain would slay his brother, and as he would slay his brother, in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 13, says, "And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." Once again, we see God is a God of love, because in judgment He shows mercy. And He certainly would have been justified to bring His wrath and His judgment and eternally send Adam and Eve to hell. He certainly would have been justified in allowing any individual who found Cain to take vengeance upon Cain, but yet God in His love, during His judgment on Cain, extended mercy to him. And God, I believe, is extending mercy to us. This world we're living in, I believe that God is in His wrath and His judgment is still extending mercy. And so as I see the Christian flag, it reminds me of the justice of God and the mercy of God that is extended to us because He loves us. Not only that, but I thought of David. Look over in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13, we see the life of David. We know David plotted to have Nathan I can't think of his name now, I just lost it. What was that? Uriah, there we go. Amen. I'm glad for Bible scholars in the building. And he had plotted to have Uriah killed. And as a result of it, he is confronted by Nathan, the prophet. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, in verse 13, we jump into the narrative of dealing with this whole situation and how God would be merciful to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, in verse 13. If I get in the right chapter, I'll be doing good. Amen. Chapter 12 and verse 13. Here we go. It says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. How be it?" Well, I'm really nervous when you read "how be it." "How be it? Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." The consequence of his wrongdoing, the consequence of his sin with Bathsheba. And so when you read on down through the chapter and you get down to verse 24, after his son dies, it says, "And David comforted Bathsheba his wife and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him." Judgment showered with mercy. The consequences of David's sin in not only committing adultery and committing murder was his child died. But God still showed mercy in that God gave him another son who was Solomon, who records for us scripture upon scripture and is identified as the wisest man that ever lived. Why would that be so? It's because of God extending mercy in the midst of judgment because He loved David. And I want you to understand that this morning when we see the flag, it reminds us of God's great love because He could have just poured wrath out on us, but He extended to us mercy. And because he extended to us mercy, we can know that we're saved and we're going to heaven. So it reminds us of God's love. In judgment, he shows mercy, but in salvation, he provides security. You know, in chapter 7 of Genesis, we won't turn over there, but we read about Noah and his family going on the ark. There certainly was not much security for the crowds that were mocking Noah when he was building the ark. But once Noah was in the ark with his family, the wrath of God on the world, the judgment of God upon the land, the rain that was coming down, the floods that were being experienced, none of them touched Noah and his family. Why? Because God provides security in our salvation. And I want you to know this morning that God provides security. You're secure in Christ. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And so there's security in Christ. Everything is topsy-turvy and turned upside down in the world in which we live. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. The salvation of God standeth sure. And we do not have to be distressed about life because we find security in the Lord. So that's for the believer. If Noah found security all the way back in Genesis when judgment was coming, then every believer in Christ can expect and enjoy security in the present world in which we're living in. And we do not have to be distressed and distraught about trying just to live our life. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we live in light of the security we have in Christ. Why? Because God loves us. That's the bottom line. He loves us. But not only does the flag remind us of God's love, it reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You remember, he left the portals of glory. Jesus Christ in heaven, the angels were camped around the throne of God crying, holy, holy, holy. He enjoyed all the accolades and all the praise of heaven, but he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. And he walked on the face of this earth just so that he could provide the sacrifice for our sins. And so he left the portals of glory to be despised and rejected. In John chapter 1 and verse 11 says he came to his own, but his own received him not. And so to be rejected, I often stand amazed when I think about it. Here is Christ in heaven on the throne, and every creature in heaven is worshiping and praising the name of Jesus Christ. And he turned and walked away from that and was born of a virgin and lived on this earth and walked on the face of this earth for 33 years to be despised and to be rejected. He did all that for you and me. I mean, people get upset if somebody defriends them on Facebook. You know, everybody gets beside themselves if all of a sudden, I don't understand why they blocked me from their blog. And Jesus Christ, let me tell you, he left all the glory of heaven to suffer the reproach of man. Why is that? Because God loves us and he cares for us. He was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was crucified, and he did all that for one reason, and that was so that he might be able to free us from the bondings of sin. He reminds us of our freedom over sin. Paul says there is no condemnation, literally meaning there is no judgment, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 8, this great statement of the freedom that we have from sin because Jesus Christ sacrificed himself on the cross. When we see that cross, when we see that flag, the Christian flag, let's remember that you can stand justified before God and not condemned before God because of what that flag represents in reference to what Jesus Christ did for you. And then there's no bondage. I love Galatians 5:1 because it says, therefore stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so Christ sets us free. And I think one of the great problems with young believers that have struggled with addictions and things like that is they do not understand the concept of what it means to be released, what it means to be unshackled, what it means to be set free. It has no hold on you. And so we live in the might and the power of Jesus Christ because we are not condemned and we are released from the bondages in our life. And then it reminds us not only of the freedom over our sin, but it reminds us of our own personal testimony. You have a testimony of your faith in Christ, and he gave us the examples of baptism. And baptism always shows obedience to the Lord. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. They didn't wait about it. They didn't argue about it. They didn't debate about it. They didn't refuse to do it. They that trusted Christ as their Savior, the very first step of obedience to our Lord is to be baptized and baptized by immersion. Shows us complete identity with Christ and Christ alone. Jesus was died and was buried and he rose again out of the grave victorious. And so your baptism is so important to testify of who you are. But not only that, but he gave us the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper identifies with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The bread is his body that was broken. The juice is his blood that was shed. And as he was placed in the grave, he arose out of the grave victorious. And because he arose out of the grave, then you and I also will rise out of the grave. And so we rejoice in the identity that we have. That cross represents us as being dead and buried with Christ and living with him. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And that flag identifies that relationship that we have. So your life needs to be an example that you are the light of the world, and you need to testify of the fact that you're a Christian, you're a child of God. Identity with dignity. And so the Christian flag represents our freedom over sin. Well, the flag of America represents freedom of country, freedom of country. The Declaration of Independence was developed out of a dependence on God. And don't let the people who are trying to rewrite history to try to present something other than that. But our documents, our founding papers, our character, our principles that guided and directed us to become a nation was the fact that we were going to be a free country because of what God had so stated in his word. Everything that we've talked about that the Christian flag represents is the basis or the foundation of what guided the American flag to represent what that represents. And the Declaration of Independence starts with this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Endowed by their Creator. And when our Congress is in session and a congressperson stands up and says that God has no place in the Congress, we've got trouble in River City, amen? And we have a problem in the world that we are living in because what we were founded on is that we have rights that's based on a God of heaven who has established us as a people. However, the Declaration of Independence ends with this statement, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and sacred honor. Notice it starts with God, it ends with God. And notice that as it ends, it's acknowledging that we are committed to each other. Those that would rip us apart as a people, those that would cause division and conflict and jealousy and hatred upon the people of America, a shame on them. Because God has so designed it and we have declared it that we will sacrifice everything we have, our lives, our fortunes, and even our honor, so as to be able to maintain a people that is together for the glory of God. Identity with dignity. The American flag is a symbol. It's a symbol of freedom. Let's think of what it represents. The white on the flag signifies purity and innocence. Purity and innocence. And just as we as a Christian people are to be pure, we as a nation of people need to be pure also. And we need to have a concept of innocence. In other words, it's alarming to me to see all the stuff that is talked about that's immoral. Things I've had to address from this pulpit 30 years ago, you would have never said anything like that with anybody privately, let alone say something, have to say something about it publicly. Now, we're supposed to be a pure, innocent people, trusting in the living God and living in light of what He has so deemed us to be. And so the white represents purity and innocence. The red signifies valor and bravery. This is Memorial Day weekend, valor and bravery. You understand those, whoever it may have been, men or women, who went into battle bravely, not knowing whether they were going to come back alive or not, but yet they disregarded the danger of their own lives to be able to give us freedom. How dare somebody take that flag and stomp on it and burn it? Well, that represents the blood of 1.3 million people who have died for our freedoms. The blue signifies vigilance, perseverance, and justice. And how we need to persevere and be vigilant in the days in which we live so that we can be assured that we as a people continue to be a just people. And then the stars are considered a symbol of the heavens with a divine goal. Not just a symbol of the heavens, but a symbol of the heavens in the fact that God is sovereignly in control of all things with a divine goal. And so, identity with dignity. Let's think first of all. Two questions that I have. Should a Christian be patriotic? I say yes. We should be patriotic, especially when you consider what we are and how we were founded and the documents to declare our dependence upon God. Certainly, that's something we ought to be faithful and committed to. And so, yes, I would say yes. Why would I say that? Because God works through nations, whether you like it or not. You know, all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, we have God speaking to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham that He was going to make him a mighty nation. So that shows me God's interested in working through nations. And then in Jacob in Genesis chapter 46, when he is going down to Egypt, God affirmed to Jacob, don't worry about going down to Egypt, because in Egypt, He said this, I'm going to make thee a mighty nation. So I see God uses nations. God works and moves through nations. That's why Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Not only does God work through nations, but God ordains the governments. And that's a strange thing to try to comprehend sometimes when you think about the suffering of Christians during the rule of Nero, the persecution, the mockery, the entertainment they would use in throwing Christians into the arena before the wild beast and everything. But God says, that we're to be subject to the powers, because there is no powers but that which is ordained of God in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. So where do you draw the line? We draw the line where man's laws goes against God's law. And then you have to determine, okay, we recognize God works through nations. We recognize that God establishes governments. But wait a minute, we ought to obey God rather than man. But if it is not conflicting with our Christian conviction, then we're to obey the laws of the land. And so God ordains governments. So should a Christian be patriotic? Yes. Number two, or letter B there, should the Christian be concerned about who is in the government? And the answer is yes. We certainly, I mean, I don't understand why it's okay or supposedly worthwhile or really necessary for everybody else to be concerned about who's in government, but the Christian is not supposed to be concerned about that. Why should we be concerned for those that are in government? First of all, godly men, it was godly men who wrote the Declaration of Independence. So if we want godly declarations in the days in which we live, then we need godly men and women who can write godly declarations. So it ought to concern us. We ought to vote. We ought to be involved in the election process. We should be dedicated to that. Also, it was godly men that led our country to be great. And you can watch throughout the centuries, throughout the years of America's history, and when you have men and women who want to honor the Lord, then God would bless us. And certainly those who would not honor the Lord, we see God's chastisement upon us. It was George Washington who knelt down to pray in the beginning of the deliberations of the Continental Congress. You say, why do we have a good beginning? Why did God bless us? I believe it's because we had godly men who are willing to kneel and pray and cry out to God. Abraham Lincoln said this, he often said this, I have nowhere to go but to God in prayer. And we don't have anywhere to go but to God in prayer. I remember when 911 happened, people had a heart to pray. I remember people, we left our doors unlocked here because people were wanting to come in. People we didn't know, coming in off the street, wanting to kneel, wanting to come in here and pray. I don't see people busting the door down to come and pray right now. COVID-19, whatever it is going on, I don't see people running over and saying, I got to pray, we got to get a hold of God. I don't see that. Thomas Jefferson asked this important question, can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, conviction in the minds of people that these liberties are the gift of God? And I think if we forget that the freedoms that we have is not because we're better than somebody else, it is because we have cried out to God and God has gifted us with freedom. And so when we think about this matter of identity with dignity, I think we need to look to our God and realize that God is blessing us and we need to give Him glory and praise for it. The nation of Israel trusted in their God and believed that God would bless their nation as He promised. Do we really believe that God can meet our needs and God can bless us as He's promised? We should be proud to be an American. There's so much nowadays of trying to rob any concept of being proud of who we are. And I'm not talking about in a sinful way. I'm talking about rejoicing and being proud of what God has done for us. We should be proud to be American. We ought to be proud of our heritage. Need to be proud that we're a nation founded on biblical principles. We need to be thankful for the freedom God so graciously has given us. And this Memorial Day, I think it would be well for us to remember who we are in Christ. I think it would be well for us as a nation to remember the blessings of God that has flowed upon our nation. Yes, people have offered their lives as a sacrifice so that we might be able to be free. But I'm going to tell you right now, if God's hand of blessing was not on us, it wouldn't matter how many died. It is because of God we are a people who we are. And we need to be identifying with dignity that we are a Christian and we are a Christian nation. Irregardless of what goes on in our world that we live in, we are a Christian nation. And we need to lead people to Christ and help them to know what it means to be a Christian, because you can't fully appreciate that flag if you don't identify with that flag. Because it all starts, begins, and ends with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have as a citizen of the United States of America. Many people around the world can't say they have those freedoms. But we thank you for those freedoms. And as we know, we acknowledge it, it's because of the freedom that we have through faith in Christ. Help us, Lord, to really be identified with the dignity of a holy God. And help us to be able to have an answer that directs people to hope as they put their faith in Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.